Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Once again, we are very pleased to welcome into our studios the Ocean State Theater Company. Amy Turner is back. Hi, Amy.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you back again for show number 810, I think,
yeah,
you and I together.
One day we'll count.
One day we should count it up. We really should. And we'll be talking about Around the World in 80 Days, the newest production coming to the Ocean State Theater in Warwick. And Amy, you brought a special guest with you today. It's going to be a rookie to Conducting Conversations, but certainly not a rookie to the stage. Manita Gandhi, welcome, Manita.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Now, I understand you're going to be the only female in the cast of Around the World in 8 days. Is that right?
Yes, that is true.
All right. How does that work out? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for you?
Well, I feel that it's pretty lucky.
Okay. Around the World in 80 Days is not perhaps a show that a lot of people are familiar with as far as a play is concerned. A lot of them have seen the movies and the adaptations and so forth. Amy, how long has this been in play form?
So it's had a couple of different versions. The Mark Brown version that we're producing, it's probably been around, give or take, about 10 years, I would say.
No,
it was
so.
Actually off-Broadway for several years.
In the world of shows, relatively new.
Yeah, relatively new. And it's really a remarkable adaptation. I'm very excited, have been for some time, because it's just like, unabashedly sort of slapsticky. There's actually five characters. As Manita said, she's the only female. There are four gentlemen, and they play every character, and they go all around the world. And I think there's 37 characters. They cover four or five continents, and it's really a lot of fun. And I'm sure she will tell you more about the rehearsal process as we move on to the stage. But it's funny, and it's sweet, and it's got some surprises in there, and I couldn't be happier with this adaptation. I really, truly couldn't.
Excellent. And this opens Wednesday night in previews, and then Thursday previews also, and then the big opening on Friday night, November, what is that, the 6th, I guess.
Or, mm-hmm.
Yep. And runs through the 22nd of November. So if you'd like to get tickets, you know how to do that. But we'll remind you, you can go to the Ocean State Theater website, or you can call the box office, right, Amy?
Absolutely. We open every day at noon, 401-921-6800, 921-6800.
There you go. And if you want to go online, that's easy enough to do also. That's oceanstatetheater.org.
Org. There's so much going on right now in the months of November and December. I really do encourage your listeners to go online and really check out. We launch our Family Fun Fest, our cabaret club. We have a couple of great concerts. And of course, not only Around the World in 80 Days, but then coming up after that is It's a Wonderful Life, the musical. I'm sure we'll talk more about some of those things.
Yes, we will.
But there's almost too much to talk about right now. So go
All
on
right.
the website.
Well, let's get back to Around the World in 80 Days. And Manita, your background, before we talk about the show, a little bit about you. You're from what area?
So I was born in India, raised in San Francisco, and I've been living in Chicago for about 9 years.
Wow. So from India to San Francisco?
Yes.
And how long did you live in San Francisco, roughly?
Oh, my goodness. Probably about 18 years.
Okay. So now you're 19, so.
right. Now I'm 19. I'm 19 forever.
And Chicago, and how long in the theater business?
Well, I've been acting professionally for a little over a decade, and Chicago has become my artistic home, and it's been great because I love the creative energy that's there, and it also has been allowing me to travel and do wonderful shows like this. I'm really excited to be here with Ocean State Theater. This is my first time here and my first time in Rhode Island.
Wow. Well, welcome to the state. You'll find that most people don't give you a whole lot of respect because you're not from here, but that's all right. That's all right. We let people in as long as you don't stay.
You can stay. You'll just never become a native.
That's right. He'll never become a real Rhode Islander. But it's great to have you here and look forward to the show. And interestingly enough, this is a play, so there's not music. It's not a musical, so there's not music directly attributed to it. But Amy has brought along some music that relates. And what's the first piece that we're going to listen to today?
So we'll visit several songs from the score that was created from the 1956 film. The score was created by Victor Young, and they do go to so many exotic places throughout. Hopefully some of them we'll touch on during the hour, but this is called Temple of Dawn, and it is from the 1956 film score.
Well, that music will certainly get us in the mood of Around the World in 80 Days, which is coming to the Ocean State Theater. Now let's talk a little bit about the characters. Now, you're the only female. How many female characters are actually in the show that you portray?
So I only play one female character, but I also play three male characters before you meet Ayuda.
Oh, so there's only one female, but you play three male characters.
I do, and that's some of my favorite work. I get to play an older butler who, for those of you that know this story, has a very short-lived relationship with Fogg in the show. I get to play a young newspaper boy. I get to play someone in the opium den, and that's really a fun character to play as well. And then I get to play this beautiful Indian princess, Ayuda, who gets to have this wonderful love affair with Fogg, this iconic character. And there's so many other great characters in the show too. You know, it really is only five actors in the show, but I think by the end of the show the audience will be astounded that it really was only five people throughout the show. You'll meet people, you really will take a journey around the world with the show.
Well, and to just layer that one step further, so Phileas Fogg actually only plays that actor, Russell Garrett. He only plays that character. So all of these other characters, it's
piker.
Even a little better than that. I know, right? It's such a lazy.
Is he getting paid as much as the others? Jeez.
So there's actually four characters that play the 36 other characters. And then, as Manita said, then once she becomes Aouda, she stays as Aouda. And so there's really the pressure is on. It kind of keeps getting tighter and tighter. And there's one specific actor that I think takes the brunt on his shoulders.
He does. There's one actor that I want to say he plays at least 15 of the characters. Yeah. And I think it's for those of you out there that are theater lovers, I think this is really great to see the convention and the magic of the theater, because it's actors magically shifting roles with just the shift of a hat or a costume piece, mm-hmm. or a shift in body language and a dialect, and you're automatically, they're transformed and you're with them the whole way.
Sounds very interesting. I can't wait to see it. All right, let's get to another piece of music. What's up next?
Oh, Manita, you should tell them.
So this next piece of music is actually from the 1989 version, the TV version of Around the World in 80 Days with Pierce Brosnan. For those of you out there that are also Pierce Brosnan fans, it's the theme from Around the World in 80 Days.
I should explain that while we were off air, Pierce Brosnan got a lot of props from all the people here in the studio.
I'm still blushing.
Here we go. Amy, why don't we talk about some of the other people that are in the cast, these other 36 personalities played by just a few people.
Yeah, so I did mention Russell Garrett playing Phileas Fogg, and he was on stage for us in 42nd Street, and he has directed for us many times, including the summer production of Gypsy and the previous summer production Guys and Dolls and the
Legally Blonde. It was unbelievable. Gypsy was the best show ever.
Oh.
Starring Oh, Amy. Okay, go ahead.
I had the privilege. Yes, I did. It was a wonderful experience. And a young man named Jonathan Fisher plays the one who does the most characterizations. And many people will not remember him from his turn on our boards, Dial M for Murder, because he was the detective, not the one that solved the crime, but the one that sort of stood at the top of the stairs and blew the whistle and took the body off stage. So he kept us laughing with all of his characters that he just could create out of thin air during rehearsals. So I thought he'd be perfect for that. David Grosha, a recent Rhode Island College graduate who's been on our stage a couple of times in My Fair Lady and in Guys and Dolls, is playing the copper who's chasing them around the world. And a new person to our stage, Matt Jones, plays Passepartout.
Yes.
Funny little French manservant that follows around. He plays some other characters as well. It's his first time coming here. He's a Boston-based actor. Mm. But I'm also excited to have our director, Mark Torres. He's auditioned for us several times as an actor. He's quite accomplished. He's been on Broadway. And he's coming back to direct this piece. He's performed in it several times as well, but he has a Rhode Island connection because he actually performed under Adrian Hall at Trinity for a few shows back in the Adrian Hall years. So he's really excited to be back in Rhode Island and help us expand this brand new theater here.
Wow. A lot of background on just a few people where they're all connected some way, as we talked about off. All right, let's get one more piece of music in before we take our first break. And this is by a very, very well-known singer.
You could say that.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you tell what it is, though.
Well, this is actually, again, from the 1956 film. It is the theme song to Around the World in 80 Days. It is called Around the World, and it's performed by Nat King Cole.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of the Ocean State Theater.
Around the world, I've searched for you. I travel on when hope was gone, to keep a rendezvous. I knew somewhere, sometime, somehow, you'd look at me and I would see the smile you're smiling now. It might have been in County Down, or in New York, in Gay Paris, or even London town. No more will I go all around the world, for I have found my world in you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Amy Turner from the Ocean State Theater Company, And one of the stars from Around the World in 80 Days, Manita Gandhi, is here. And we talked a lot about the cast and a number of characters. But for you, have you done the show before?
I have. I had the privilege of doing the show at Indiana Repertory Theater a few years ago under the direction of William Brown in the same track that I'm playing this time.
Oh, so basically the same thing, but a little bit different twist, I'm sure.
Absolutely. You know, and that's part of the wonderful aspect of getting to be in the theater. Productions are very all the time. And with this particular production, Mark Torres has a very interesting and fun take. So when we first sat in for our first rehearsal, he mentioned the old Nicholas Nickleby that the RSC did, and how the group of actors are on stage as actors, and as the story goes along, the actors are creating the scene from what's on stage and with each other, pulling props and costumes out of trunks and things that are on stage. So we've taken to that, so we'll really see a lot of the magic, the transformation happening on stage.
Hmm. Right before your eyes.
Right before your eyes, so don't miss it. And that's going to be opening Wednesday night for previews, as usual, and then Thursday afternoon and Thursday evening. Am I getting a nod? I'm getting
absolutely
a nod.
Yep. Okay, the three preview shows, which right. Is the best deal that we offer. We trade with the audience. We say, you come in and see the show before we open, and we'll give you the best price on tickets. And they're always very popular shows,
right.
Both with our subscribers and our single ticket buyers.
All right. So I don't think I've ever asked you this question, but in a preview performance, is it appropriate for the director to stop up and step up and say, wait a minute, I want to fix this? Does that ever happen?
I don't know if the director ever has. I think, interestingly enough, for those people that have been following Ocean State Theater since 2007, Around the World in 80 Days is actually our 50th production in
wow.
the state of Rhode Island. It'll be the 27th in Warwick. And so in all of those shows, I think we've stopped a show maybe three times. It's very rare. Usually, it's not anything catastrophic enough to stop. And it would only be if there was a safety issue or something like that. But actually, like through the union, through Actors Equity Association, everyone has to be made aware that, in fact, a show can be stopped, interestingly enough. And the goal is that you don't. You know, our goal is that our preview audiences don't ever see what they don't see. It's usually more like a detail on a costume or the costume changing.
Or prop or something.
Exactly.
Like that, yeah.
A set, we might not have the detailed hand railing on the set. It might just honestly be a 2x4. It's not going to really take anything away from the experience, hopefully, from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do a high comedy like The Addams Family or Laughter on the 23rd Floor, some show like that where there's a lot of humor, it's very helpful to get the pacing of the show
right,
out of the way
right.
with the audience before opening. So it's really more about the kinks and the bugs. We would probably be stopped by the stage manager. The director shouldn't stomp up on stage. They would give notes afterwards.
That would be a great show.
But it's, our goal is that, and I always say to my preview audiences, if you come back and see the show later on, you'd be surprised at how different it can be. But in that experience of live theater, of being present that evening, hopefully they would feel completely fulfilled by the show that they see.
All right, and that's going to happen Wednesday and Thursday, so great deal. There you go. You get tickets for a discounted price by doing that. Go online, oceanstatetheater.org, and you can order your tickets right there on the website. Pick out your seats. Very easy to do and very convenient. If you haven't been there before, get there for this.
Free parking, not a bad seat in the house.
A stone's throw from the airport.
People love our free parking, let me tell you. That we get a lot of kudos on that.
I'm sure they do. Let's get to our next piece of music and tell us about this.
One of the many places they travel, as you can imagine, around the world is the Pagoda of Pollaji, and that is the name of the song from the 1956 film score.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to pull a surprise on Amy. We were just talking off air, and we have some background on that last song. Amy and I learned a lot of things in that,
we sure that did.
Several minute while the music was playing. Tell our audience what you just told Amy and I.
Sure. Well, one of the wonderful things about this play is we do go around the world, and we do spend some time in India. It's where Fogg and Ayuda meet, and Passepartout happens to wander into the pagoda of Pillaji. That's the song that we just heard as well. And something that's great is that's in Malabar, on Malabar Hill, which is in India and a very religious place for a number of religions. One is the Parsi religion that is referenced to in the show. And the Parsi religion is really amazing because the Parsis originally came from Iran, and they're considered fire worshippers because there are only 8 Parsi temples in the world. And so the priests are responsible for keeping these fires alive, and fires are thousands of years old. And in the Parsi religion, the Parsis don't believe in cremation or burial, so there's a beautiful place that's referenced in the show called the Towers of Silence. So once you've passed away, if you're Parsi, your body gets taken there, and you're put on top of, I think it's a marble slab, I might need to be corrected on that, but and then the sun will help to decompose your body. The vultures will come down and take the remains, so nothing is wasted. And then next to it, the pagoda is actually a Hindu temple, so those that worship Shiva and Krishna can go there and worship as well. So within the realm of India in the show, it really parallels what's happening in the real world, and there's a number of beautiful religions that are represented in the play as well. And Passepartout gets lost in the pagoda on Malabar Hill, and you'll get to see what happens to him there.
Wow. See, we learn something all the time on
Absolutely.
Conducting conversations. There you go. Not usually as well articulated as that
beautifully spoken about. Right. And yeah, and it is interesting, and I think that's the joy of theater, both as a participant patron and also as actors, is, you know, you get to learn about sure. different places and things and peoples and histories, and it really is a lovely way to expand your horizons and your universe.
All right, well, let's get as we roll through the show to track number 5, as we say, and tell us about this.
Actually, this is perfect because a very contemporary version of Around the World in 80 Days is a very popular TV show contest called The Amazing Race. And I think part of the reason it's been so successful and won so many Emmys is kind of a great connection to what we were just saying, that we take these American couples and send them literally around the world to participate just briefly in crazy places doing crazy things. And it is an exciting learning process to see how the other people live. So this is just the theme from The Amazing Race TV show. But a lot of your listeners probably have seen that show.
There you go. We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ocean State Theater Company's Amy Turner and the special guest, the star of Around the World in 80 Days. We can say she's special because she's the only female in the cast. Manita Gandhi is here. And one of the things we didn't talk about, Amy, is what is the premise? Why are people going around the world in 80 days? And when does this happen? Is this in 1980, 1950, 1920, when
are we? Right around the turn of the century. Manita, jump in as you see fit. But I mean, for the people who only viscerally know about Around the World in 80 Days, it is about an English aristocrat who is wagered. There's a lot of buzz about new transportation, and the press, the newspapers are really big and all of that. And so a group of men make a wager basically on to Fogg for his life savings that he can or cannot travel around the world in 80 days. And it's pretty exciting. And it's unheard of, which is kind of crazy to think of in this day and age.
Something that I think is really remarkable, these men are sitting in the Reform Club, so it's 1872, and a news headline has come across in London's paper, the Daily Telegraph, saying that now a steamer from Calcutta, connecting Calcutta to Bombay, has been complete. And that's where the idea comes from. Oh, well, now that, or not a steamer, excuse me, a train has now been established. This railway line has been established. So everyone gets the idea, oh, well, we can actually fully travel around the world. And Phileas Fogg throws out in 80 days. And everyone is astounded, 80 days. So,
and he does the calculations. And, and you think about circumnavigate, is like, it's a brand new term. It's something that you'd have to have gone all the way around the tip of the continent. And now you can cut through the continent. And the exploration and just really all those things that you take for granted in this day and age, air travel, for instance, if it wasn't on a boat or it wasn't on rail, or in this case, by sled or by elephant, or
it gets pretty hot creative.
Air balloon or is
there's no hot air balloon actually in the book or in this play, but it was famous. But it's true. You had to come up with some kind of alternative transportation. And the railroads of America back in early, you know, Wild West days and all that. So it really, and he does the calculation and he's like, yeah, I could do that. They're like, prove it. And then he has to. And it's quite exciting. I mean, it really is a very exciting, whirlwind, fast-paced show.
Well, at least we're in the right time period now. We got that straightened out. And what's our next piece of music going to be?
Again, from the 1956 film score, this is The Arrival in Paris, which, of course, in the movies, we can go to many, many more locations. Of course, he does travel through Paris, but we don't spend a lot of time there in the play, but this is the Paris arrival.
Thank you.
Manita, you have a long background in theater, and one of the things that struck me when I looked at your the press release is that you did some episodes of Chicago Fire, and we have a tie-in where we have a nearby resident that was in Chicago Fire, but it seems the two of you never met, so... But tell us about your experience there.
Sure. So in Chicago Fire, I have a recurring role of Dr. Prosper, she works in the emergency room there. And it's a show that I think is a fantastic show. You know, there's a number of great TV that's being shot in Chicago right now. And so I've gone to work on Chicago Fire. For those of you that are Empire fans, I got to do a season finale episode of Empire. I've also gotten to work with PBS. I'm a PBS pledge host for their Chicago station, WTTW Channel 11. And I've gotten to do NBC's Crisis and the Chicago Code. And for those of you that are Onion News Network fans, I was the news anchor Nina Shunker for the Onion News Network for a year. That has to have been one of my favorite TV jobs because that was a great kind of comedy that I love doing.
So is that keeping you busy?
They are. Chicago's been keeping me pretty busy. And in the theater scene as well, you know, one thing that's great about Chicago is there's so much new work that's happening there. In the past couple of years, I had the ability to do the world premiere of Rajiv Joseph's play, The Lake Effect. And those of you might know Rajiv Joseph from doing Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo, which was on Broadway with Robin Williams. And he's a favorite playwright of mine. And this play in particular, I love Mark Brown. He is one of my favorite playwrights. He's one of my playwriting mentors. This past year, I got to write my first play. And so Mark Brown has been kind enough to be one of my mentors in that. So yeah, I'm excited about the work that I have been able to do in Chicago and the places that it has taken me. Being in Chicago has also allowed me to travel around the world.
In 80 days.
I wish it was in 80 days. I wish I could do all that in 80 days.
Amy, in casting this, did you consider a particular, were you looking for a particular ethnic person?
Well, those folks who know our history, I feel very passionately that when a role is not ethnically specific, that we really do try and bring as much diversity as we can. So then the counter of that I'm also passionate about is that if something is ethnically specific, we also try and really actively do our best, you know, to cast that and give the opportunity to someone of ethnic diversity. So when a play like this comes around that starts in Britain, Great Britain, and it's, you know, sort of white, for lack of a better way of putting it, because they're British. Sure. That's appropriate. But then as they travel around the world to find the beauty that comes from non-white casting, and then specifically, I mean, Ayuda is an Indian princess. So, you know, I think in the way that the cards sort of fell through, I couldn't be more thrilled that we actually have our own Indian princess
you
here.
Certainly do.
You know, but it is important. It was always important to me that that we show a different shade of humanity, if you will. And so the fact that we actually do have someone of Indian heritage is particularly special for this production.
I know, as an actor and definitely a minority actor, that's something that I really appreciate and really want to commend Ocean State Theater for. And I encourage you, those of you out there who support the initiative in diversity, to come out and see the show, because Ocean State Theater is doing great theater. I had the privilege of seeing Adam's Family before it closed, which was so much fun, and Amy directed that. And they're really committed to bringing great theater to this community, and I'm excited to be here.
The funny thing about Adam's Family is everybody was in such heavy makeup. You couldn't tell the ethnic diversity.
Right.
We did have that on stage, but it didn't really show. But, you know, it's wonderful. And I think that when art reflects the audience, it's at its highest power, it's most powerful. And whether it's, you know, a child who does come and they see someone that they can, you know, whether it be a woman or whether it be someone older or younger or of an ethnic nationality or background, when they see that reflected at them, it's empowering, especially to young people. But I think that the other side of that coin is when you see something reflected back at you that is differently ethnically, but you can still relate to it. That's what opens your heart and your mind, because, you know, we're really all from the same genetic pool.
There you are. So far, we're all from this world.
As far as we know, if you are human, we actually all have the exact same DNA.
That's right. All right, let's get to one more piece of music.
Do you want to introduce the, just
wrap it up.
Briefly mention why we're on the prairie for this piece of music?
Great. So one place that we go, we do come to the United States and we end up on a lovely sledge. So this wonderful piece of music is called The Prairie Sail Car and it's from the 1956 film score.
Amy, we ended up in the United States on that last song. Is that the end of the tour?
Well, they do have to get back to Great Britain, but
And we're not going to tell everybody
the
whether they
continent.
Do or not, right?
No, we are not going to tell everybody because right. It is truly a race to the finish line, and okay. I think people will be surprised by the ending.
All right, great. Tell us about some other things happening at the theater before we wrap this one up.
Well, so folks that saw My Fair Lady, Our Gorgeous Eliza, Jessica Wagner is coming back to do a one-night-only benefit concert on November 22nd.
Oh.
So that's going to be a night to remember for sure. People that saw Ida Zecco's one-woman show, Estrogen and Tonic,
yeah.
She's coming back on December 6th. She's bringing Songs of the Season, another one-night-only one-woman show slash concert of songs for the season. So that's on December 6th. We kick off our Family Fun Fest this year, which is going to be super exciting. On December 12th, we're doing Yes, Virginia. Of course, people know the original editorial and the book, Yes, Virginia, There is a Santa Claus. So mm-hmm. that's going to be a wonderful celebration. And then we have three cabaret clubs, something brand new. We're starting on Tuesday evenings in our lobby. Wonderful cabaret performers are going to be coming in. And so all that information is on the website or, of course, call the box office any day afternoon when we open. And we'd love to hook you up with a great November and December. And then, you know, we'll close out the calendar year with the musical adaptation of It's a Wonderful Life. So there's just always a lot going on.
That's right. And it's not too late to buy tickets to any of these events. And then the season continues with a play after the first of the year, right?
Yeah, Breaking Legs, a very, 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 very funny show. Imagine a Federal Hill-type establishment, restaurant, where a very waspy writer comes to ask the family to fund his Broadway play.
How you doing?
How you doing? And there's meatballs all over the place.
There you go.
1776, of course, this amazing, so timely right now for us all to remember how this great nation got started. That's a musical version. The Miracle Worker, a wonderful, inspirational story about Helen Keller and her teacher, Annie Sullivan. And we close out with Cole Porter's Anything Goes, Gorgeous Showgirls, Handsome Sailors, Costumes, Songs, Tap Dancing, everything you want in a musical.
Well, that's great. And thank you for the review. And I hope everyone gets to the theater to see Around the World in 80 Days. And Manita, thank you so much for coming in. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And as usual, Amy, I think we figured it out early in the conversation. You said this is your 50th show. This must be our 50th show. So I think we kind of have an anniversary because we didn't do the very first one that you did.
That's true.
But we made up for it.
We've done a couple of extras. I'd say we're
past the 50.
We might be past the 50 mark, but it's always a pleasure.
And we'll look forward to seeing you next time. And the rest of you, we'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.